A century before the first email, pneumatic tubes were sending messages from place to place. Department stores also used them to send money and receipts between merchandise counters and the office. Joel Obermeyer reports from Danville, Pennsylvania, that the technology is still in use today.
If you regularly use drive-through bank tellers, there's a good chance you've seen a pneumatic tube. You put your bank deposit in a small plastic cylinder. The cylinder goes into a pneumatic tube that uses air pressure to deliver it. Pneumatic tubes are also in some factories and prisons, but these days the biggest users are hospitals. For example, Geisinger Medical Center in central Pennsylvania has 8 miles of tubes snaking through its walls, linking more than 80 pneumatic tube stations. The busiest station is a lab bustling with technicians in latex gloves. Several times a minute, plastic cylinders that look like bullet-shaped lunchboxes fall out of the wall and into an alcove. They're called carriers. The technicians snap the carriers open and take out test tubes filled with blood. Dale Palmer supervises the system at Geisinger.
These are all patient specimens that come in that have to be tested right away, analyzed for whatever purpose they need, and get the information back to the doctor or nurse as soon as possible.
When the system is busy, a computer routes the carriers around bottlenecks, much in the way packets of information are routed around congestion on the internet. The carriers move at around 17 miles an hour. That's fast enough that the pharmacy can send drugs to nearly any ward in not much more than a minute. John Jones, the head pharmacist, says tubes save time and reduce personnel costs.
One of the things we decided to do was close our pharmacy satellite in the critical care area and replaced it really with a dedicated tube system.
Even the biggest modern system is far less extensive than those that existed in the 1800s. Back then, vast pneumatic tube systems were built under major cities like New York, London, and Paris. The tubes ferried messages back and forth between post offices for quick delivery. Tom Standage wrote a book about Victorian-era communications.
You could exchange messages with people within the city very quickly. You could exchange two or three within a day, just like you can with email today.
Pneumatic tubes became a favorite staple of science fiction writers. Some futurists imagined a web of tubes delivering notes or packages to every house. In 1875, American engineers conceived a plan to build a 3-foot diameter tube underneath the Atlantic Ocean. They wanted to send passengers from the United States to continental Europe. The importance of the pneumatic tube as a communications device ended with the rise of the telephone. The modern tube renaissance started in the 1970s. That's when engineers figured out how to make tube systems gentle enough to handle blood samples without destroying them. While pneumatic tubes may seem quaint, the three main tube companies are actually bitter rivals.
It's brutal. It is. Very, very brutal.
That's Gary Franklin, president of Quantum Industries, one of the tube manufacturers. Another of the companies is called Pevco. Last year, Pevco executives discovered that users doing an internet search who typed in Pevco were sent to Quantum's website. Quantum had built its site so that it automatically diverted searches for competitors back to Quantum. The company says this was a mistake made by an outside contractor. Tube companies regularly badmouth each other and harass each other in court. It's no wonder several attempts to form an industry association have failed. Fred Valerino Jr., the president of Pevco, says he wishes things were different, but he's not optimistic.
I don't think you could get a table big enough to get a representative from the two or three companies to sit around there and have a civil discussion. I don't think it will happen in my lifetime.
Despite the tension in the industry, the equipment itself is a magnet for the curious. Dale Palmer at Geisinger Medical Center says people who have never seen a pneumatic tube always want to play with it. They'll forget about the carriers and try to send a lunch bag upstairs or a beer to a buddy down the hall. Once someone tried to send a rubber Superman doll on a trip.
She stuck it up inside that pipe, wanted to see if Superman could fly. Well, it actually did take off and get stuck in the system. We had to save Superman and the system.
Whatever problems we have with a modern internet, at least it doesn't have to be cleaned out by hand. For NPR News, I'm Joel Obermeyer.